Good morning. This is Rochester Speaks. I'm Kevin Gillen. Thanks for joining us. The Caroline Werner Gannett Project Lecture Series at RIT runs through May, and it features nationally known guests. And we are joined this morning by Caroline Werner Gannett, Professor of the Humanities at RIT, Marilyn Breaux, who organizes the lecture series, and you're founder and director, too?
Founder and director.
Well, welcome.
Thank you, Kevin.
Where are you from originally?
I'm a Midwestern girl, either side of the Mississippi, St. Louis, Springfield, Illinois.
Oh, okay. Yep. I went to school in Kansas.
There you go.
So we both crossed the Mississippi at one point. Where did you go to college?
I went to St. Louis University, a Jesuit institution, and then came east to University of Connecticut.
Okay. And you majored in?
Oh, Latin, philosophy, and English.
And that's all in the humanities realm?
It sure is.
Okay. So your definition of the humanities?
Oh, I've never tried to define it. It's always broadening its scope. I know my charge was in this endowed chair was to bring together humanities with sciences, technology, social sciences, and tech and sciences. Bring them together in some new kind of exploration. So that was a big order, a tall order.
Yeah, yeah. And how long have you been at RIT?
I came to RIT in 2002. Took care of my mother, an Alzheimer's patient, until her death, and then moved back east. Couldn't get quite close enough to Ithaca, but got near enough.
Right.
Chaired foreign languages and English for 3 years, and then planned to just go back to teaching English, but was appointed Caroline Werner Gannett professor.
Now, do you still teach?
I sure do.
Okay. So what do you teach? What class?
Strange courses.
Oh, really? I bet.
Yeah. Well, I do things like map spaces and places. I do an ordinary course, autobiography. I've taught the transgressive novel, novels that are banned, burned, you know, censored. And we've done a great course around this lecture series called Visionaries in Motion, where we bring students in to have lunch with the speakers, to interview them over lunch, to be videotaped interviewing them, to go to their talk at night. And a colleague of mine in the sciences and I direct that course, and we've done it a couple times, and the videos are up on our website.
Oh, cool. Yep. Very good. And we'll talk a little bit about the lecture series specifically in a minute, but I just wanted to get your spin about Rochester in general. What do you like about the city, the area?
What I love about the area are the parks. I'm an outdoors person. So my favorite park is Mendon Ponds Park. It's absolutely glorious. I haunt parks with my Irish setter dogs. I love...
So you're the one. No.
I am the one. The deer whisperer, I am the one. I love, of course, the culture in the city. I'm right now taking harp lessons down at Eastman School of Music from a world-famous harpist. And I love just the downtown culture. I can't really live there because I've had many dogs. So
right, right. Yeah, for the size of the city that it is, the culture is just, it's
terrific.
Almost unsurpassed.
From jazz bars to art culture, it's wonderful.
Right. And I had the privilege to interview Dr. Dessler a couple of times.
Lovely.
And he talked about, and I think this perfectly describes RIT, the left brain, right brain university. And it's kind of like the technical side and the creative side. I think I got that right, didn't I? The left brain is technical and the right is kind of creative.
I think you're right.
Okay. But what better place to be for the humanities than where you're at right now?
RIT is really changing. And I think Dr. Dessler and his spouse, Dr. Rebecca Johnson, have really made that change visible for us and apparent. I think we're nothing like the traditional technical university.
Right, right.
Whatsoever.
Yeah, I was thinking on my drive in that to say it's the Rochester Institute of Technology is kind of, you know, part of the story.
Misnomer, though.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And who was Caroline Werner Gannett?
She was a civic activist. You're catching me off guard a little bit about all the things she did. I know she represented children in many ways in the city. She was spouse of Frank Gannett and... you know, was well known in the area for her civic leadership.
Right. So her name is on this lecture series that you have.
Sure.
And did somebody come to you a few years ago to get this started, or how did this all begin?
The Gannett lecture series, the Caroline Werner Gannett lecture series, has been endowed all the way back through the early 70s. But it's only been held by people for one, maybe 2 years. I think there was someone who held it for 3 years, the chair. And never have they created a multidisciplinary series of events, speakers and events, around the Gannett, series itself. But they've come in, many of them, the Gannett professors, and done lectures on their own, and some have been in residence. It's been a whole variety of things in the last 30, 40 years.
Right.
So until 2006, when I was appointed, it had a very different character, Kevin.
And what sets this lecture series apart, say, from having an occasional guest speaker?
Oh, everything. First of all, we really, seven of us are on the working group, and we come from the community and disciplines and colleges around our IT, all across the board. We make a rule never to bring single discipline speakers. Our goal is to bring people who work at the cusp of a number of different disciplines. And we've been very successful in doing that. But what it means is a year ahead of time vetting people and not always getting our way for the people we want to bring, each of us. I think we're unique in that we bring people who do work at that cusp of several different disciplines. We bring people each year who we bring at least two or three MacArthur Award winners, Genius Grant winners.
Okay.
We bring TEDsters, sometimes double TEDsters. TED means technology, entertainment, design, and it's a high-level national, international speaker series. So when we brought Dan Ariely, for example, a behavioral economist, he had been to TED, been invited to join TED 2-3 times.
Okay.
And the other thing that's distinctive about us is that we do not go through agents.
Oh, wow.
We have all kinds of clever underground, back door, around the sideways of bringing people and getting them to understand the importance of the series, a lot of it based on the people we've already attracted.
Yeah.
I mean, when you say Ray Kurzweil's name to someone, lights go off.
Right. So. But no matter how you get these speakers, you have to kind of work quite a ways out, as you sort of alluded to.
We work a huge ways out. For every 11 people we talk to each other about, and we vet them by reading their books, looking at their videos, everything online, you know, researching them thoroughly. For every 11 people, we probably choose one. And then we have to convince the one to stay, you know, within our budget, to stay, to come, and to stay within our budget.
Right.
Now, another feature that we do is we run activities around the series, around the speakers coming. And not only the course that I described to you, but we'll sometimes have an exhibit. For example, when Myra Coleman, the designer, came, Memorial Art Gallery had a wonderful exhibition of her gouaches. We'll have a colloquium, as we did around Ray Kurzweil, where we brought all kinds of thinkers and minds together, from artificial intelligence people to trustees.
Right.
We often have film series around the people we bring. We were very interested in bringing someone from Louverture Films, which is Danny Glover and Jocelyn Barnes' film series based on the Global South, on Haiti. And they also have an award-winning film on Katrina that they made. But we ran a film series of their films done by Louverture around Jocelyn Barnes coming and talking.
Is it fair to say that all of these lectures aren't probably for everybody? I mean, some of the speakers are pretty specific
Kevin. One of the things, now that gets back to your original question, which is how we are distinctive. I think we appeal to a good, bright, generalist audience even more than we appear to somebody nose down into a single discipline.
Okay.
And our audiences actually prove that fact. They offer us good testimony about that. Our average audience is somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 people. And we have a huge following from the community. From doctors, lawyers, citizens, people from Rivers Run. We draw all over from other institutions. We cast a wide net is what we do, and it's very successful that way. So that while these speakers have highfalutin credentials and specific credentials, none of them are so arcane, so esoteric that they can't be understood by everyone.
Right. Well, that's good then. That's
it's terrific. It's what we pride ourselves on, yeah.
Right. And these are generally once a month, September to May?
We try to lay them out so that we have 8 speakers a year, Kevin, and they are distributed. It gets a little dicey because we're on a quarter system, and there are a number of breaks. There are a number of finals weeks that we try to avoid.
Right.
There's the traditional holiday times. So it takes a lot of scheduling, a lot of elbow grease in scheduling to do this, yeah.
And how do you get the word out about who's coming, where you can see these different people that come in to talk?
Well, Mike Safran in our University News does a wonderful podcast at the beginning of the year. And then we have Vienna Carvalho-McGrain sending out terrific notices to the various media around town. So we often get covered by city newspaper, or we're in the DNC, or we're in the Rochester Business Journal. We ourselves take out an ad in City twice a year. We do that also in Metropolitan. We love supporting Arts and Cultural Council, so we do an ad in Metropolitan as well. And you don't know this, but before you came in, I gave you some postcards with a year at a glance out there on the table.
I love postcards.
And then we have posters around campus and places like Java's and The Spot and sometimes other institutions. So we do our best to get a wide circulation of what's coming up.
Right. And the website, too, cwgp.org, that has everything you'd want to know about what's coming up. Not only that, but great recaps on who's been and what they've talked about.
It's an absolute tutorial. You can go there and get links about the speakers, read their stuff. You can get the video that's captioned once the talk is given. You can get the WXXI interview. But go to the website, punch anybody up, and you get a mini tutorial about that person. And we also have now what we call an alumni alumnae college of all of our past speakers over 6 years. And that's at a glance. So it's all on our website, cwgp.org. And as I say to people, if you get that wrong, you'll come up with Wisconsin pumpkin growers.
Oh, okay.
The wrong CWGP.
Is that what it is, Wisconsin pumpkin growers?
Yeah, if you reverse the initials, right.
And the next lecture coming up?
The next lecture coming up is Drew Barry, who is a biological animator. He comes to us from Australia, and he's coming up on December 8th. He's a MacArthur Award winner, and he's at the Walter and Eliza Hall Institute of Medical Research in Melbourne. And so he will draw together people in the biological sciences, people who are animators, who are into medical drawing, people who are making film. He'll draw together a number of disciplines.
Yeah, and in March, speaking of illustrator, you have cartoonist and illustrator Charles Burns coming in. Now, that one seems very intriguing to me, just for the fact that this guy has to be brilliantly creative.
He's brilliantly creative, and he, too, has a history of journalism, of working in design, of, you know, creating graphic novels, or as they like to say, cartoon novels. We like to appeal to graphic art at least once a year at RIT, just because of the number of people who are interested in that area.
Yeah. And are you pretty proud of what you've accomplished so far with this series?
We're hugely proud of it. We're very proud to have, at the end of 2009, won Best Lecture Series in Rochester.
Yeah, that was nice.
City. That was very nice. Yeah.
And I think the best thing, these things are free and they're open to everybody, right?
The most important thing is they're free. We charge nothing. You come, you don't just sit there and hear a lecture. You come out afterward to a really neat reception. We have food, drink, and in most cases we have the books or tapes or CDs, whatever, of the speakers right there. You can buy them. You can chat with the speaker. You can get your copy of a book signed. So we make a little event, another mini event around the talk itself.
Yeah. Well, that's nice because, you know, occasionally I will see organizations bringing somebody in to talk and I'm thinking, well, he or she would be interesting. And then it says $25
that's right.
Beforehand, 35 day of. And it kind of turns me off a little bit. But, I mean, you're bringing big people in and it's absolutely no cost. And you don't have to be a student.
No. Not at all. And if there were one thing I could say we're most proud of, it's that we are free and open to the public always. And all the events related to any speaker, let's say a colloquium beforehand or a film series or a lecture or an exhibit, they're all free.
Very good. So, Once again, it's the Caroline Warner Gannett Project Lecture Series at RIT. They're going on, relatively speaking, monthly through May. You can get all the information you would need on them at the website, cwgp.org. Be careful when you type that in. Don't get the pumpkin growers. And thanks again to RIT Professor of the Humanities, Mary Lynn Brough, for stopping in and chatting with us this morning.
Thank you, Kevin. It was a pleasure.